In the time that we live, information is available very quickly and very readily. If something happens in someone's life within a matter of moments, now, we can find out about that. No matter what the event might be, if they have gotten a new job, that can be transmitted, and before you know it, it's posted up somewhere. If someone has started a new relationship, before you know it, some of the websites, I'm old, I don't even know what they are anymore, okay? There's so many different ones out there. But they'll post it up there and everyone will know about it. There are fewer and fewer, shall we say, secrets. It's very difficult to not know as much as one wants to know about an individual. And often that plethora of information causes people to make judgments about them. Well, they're this type of person or they're that type of person. Oh, they did this, they did that. They must be this type of person or that type of person. And people make those judgments. And obviously when you're talking about people in a role of leadership, that's going to matter. You're going to want to find people that you think would have the sort of values that would represent you if you're going to submit to them as a leader. But often the Bible will show that there are individuals who, although they were in roles of power or leadership, their character was not what one might expect. There's a couple of examples that we can look at in terms of some specific verses that speak to the individual. Now, if you read the book of Judges, and specifically chapters 6 through 8, you'll find out a lot about a man named Gideon. And Gideon became a leader when the people of children of Israel were oppressed, and he led them against the Midianites. And you can read all about that through chapters 6, 7, and 8. However, there's an interesting verse that talks about Gideon's character, specifically chapter 8 of Judges and verse 30, where it says, Gideon had 70 sons who were his own offspring, for he had many wives. And, in verse 31, and his concubine, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. Now imagine today, if someone was in a role of leadership, and they had a situation like that, what would be said about that person? And how much respect would be given for that person? Or how much respect might be taken away from that person? But Gideon's not the only person that has a situation like that. There was also another man who was put in a position of leadership. His name was Jephthah. And you can read all about Jephthah in Judges chapter 11. It says he was, in verse 1, Jephthah the Gideonite was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot. Now imagine if today that got out, okay, what sort of talk there would be about Jephthah in terms of who he was. And then, that's in verse 1. And then in verse 3, it says, then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob, and worthless men banded together with Jephthah. So, because that worthless men, and he's associated with them. Is that someone that you want in a role of leadership? And went out raiding with him. And yet, Jephthah was an instrument to help liberate the children of Israel. Again, his character versus what he did. But we're just getting warmed up because, in my opinion, the heavyweight champion of Judges, no pun intended, is Samson. In Judges chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, here's just a little snippet about Samson. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines, who we know are the enemies of the children of Israel. We know this, okay? Now therefore, go get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. And verse 4 says, but his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. But again, what kind of character is he showing there? Moving forward in Judges in chapter 16, verse 1. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. And then in verse 4, afterward it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, and whose name was Delilah. What kind of character are we seeing in these men? And yet, they were allowed to be instruments in moving God's plan forward. It's very easy to get caught up with people in today's world. We're living in a world where there's a lot going on. And we have a choice. We can focus on people, or we can focus on principles. Are the principles that we're seeking to promote, and as Christians, we better know what those principles are. Are the principles that we're seeking to promote being supported or attacked? Are the principles that we're seeking to support being viewed as righteous or being viewed as somehow destructive? Are the principles that we're seeking to support being looked at as a very simply a good thing or a bad thing? That's where our focus as Christians should be. We should be promoting principles that the Bible clearly stands behind. And we should know in 2025 what those principles are. And we should be very clear about our support of those principles. People come and go. The principles stay the same. Or at least they should. Right now in this country, we're seeing some of the very fundamental principles that we as Christians are under direct attack. What are we going to do about that? Are we going to stand up for these principles, or are we going to accept the fact that, well, it's not, you know, we've become more modern now. It's okay to change with the times. Very dangerous concept there. In Romans chapter 13, the Bible says, starting in verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, but there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We don't need to get caught up in the who. We need to get caught up in the what. The what is the word of the Bible. The principles are the principles of the Bible. The concepts are the concepts of the Bible. And they're very plain. And it's up to us to share those with the world, no matter what sort of governmental, political, community, situation might be at play. Because it will change. Those are terrestrial, man-made situations. The Bible is not. And we will be judged on the words of the Bible, on how we've lived our lives in the face of opposition to those principles. Right now in the United States, fortunately, we can speak the truth without someone kicking the doors in to Mill Road and saying that we're speaking hate speech and drag us all off to jail. Will that be the case 20 years from now, 40 years from now, 100 years from now? I don't know. But whether it is or it isn't, I do know that the Word of God has not changed and is not going to change. The principles and the teachings are solid. God has made it clear what he expects and requires of us. He has given us so much. We are so blessed to live in this country at this time right now. We have the ability to engage with individuals about the Word of God very freely compared to some other countries. Let's take advantage of that. Let's spread the gospel. Let's share the truth. Let's help people understand the principles of the Bible are the key to eternal life with God. Why? Because he sent his son Jesus to die for us, to shed his blood for our sins. And for anyone who wants that, all they have to do is the simple steps that we hear about all the time. Hear the word. Believe. Repent of your sins. Be baptized. And then after that, live righteously based on the principles of the Bible. If someone needs to do that, of course, we always have the baptistry. It's always full of water. Our folks take good care of that. But you may have stumbled in the world, and you may need the prayers of the church to stay on that right path so that we're continuing to live the way we need to live, so that when this life ends, we can with confidence and comfort know that we will spend eternity with God in heaven and not be locked out because we didn't follow the path that he so clearly laid out for us. So, if you do need those prayers or if there's anything else you might need, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.